Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we're going to be learning the halachas that relate to the four species on Sukkos. This is Simon Kuf, Lamed Vav, 136 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Torah tells us in Parashas Emor, "Lekachtem lochem b'yom harishon," on the first day of the festival of Sukkos, you'll take for yourselves pri etz hadar, a kabos tamarim, vanaf etz avos v'avrei nachal. That you're supposed to take these four species, and that is the citron, the fruit which comes back every year, the fronds of palm, the date trees, the anaf etz avos is the myrtle, and the arvei nachal, the willow. So we take these leaves, we put them together, and we have the arba minim, the four species. Let's look a little bit into some of the halachas. Just like as usual, when we're learning the kitzur, it's worthwhile noting that he's turning to the consumer. He's turning to the person who's living everyday Judaism and trying to give a general sense of the matter. He does not give an exhaustive list of all the halachas because it is exceptionally long and complex. This is enough for us to have a sense and there's more to ask about, especially when it comes to these types of halachas. One really does need an expert, and it's a good idea to ask when selecting one's lulav and esrog. Let's jump straight in. We're starting from the beginning. The first topic we're going to talk about is the lulav. So first of all, what's the most important rule when it comes to selecting the arba minim? One should select them with the help of a halachic authority to make sure they are valid. Can I use your last year's lulav? Just a little darker, just a little drier, may I use this year? So the halacha is one should try to have a fresh lulav, because a dry lulav, according to many, if it's no longer green, is not valid. And therefore, the difference between when it's completely dry and still dry enough is a little bit complex to know, and one may be therefore using an invalid lulav. One should get a new lulav every year. What is the required basic height of a lulav? So the main stem, that's excluding the upper leaves, that's where it tapers inwards, must be at least 4 tvachim, which is 14.2 inches or 36 centimeters, and in pressing circumstances, 13 and a third thumb widths, which is 11.8 inches or 30 centimeters, and that's from the bottom to the point where the leaves taper in at the slant. What shape should it be? So it should be a straight shape and not overly curved in any direction. What about the leaves? The leaves, if you wait for a palm tree, it's usually that's the center of the palm tree, the date palm. If you wait longer, it's going to spread out into a leaf. It cannot be spread out. It has to be that the leaves are not yet grown out. What about what is this about the leaves at the top? You know, everybody's looking at them and examining them without their glasses. Like, what's going on over there? So the two center leaves in the middle are called the teiomes. They're like twins, and they have to be stuck together. That's the center leaf. They grow like that, and they haven't yet split up where by the time they're cut. That teiomes needs to be together. Ideally, it needs to be adhered to the two need to be adhered to each other, all the way till the very top. However, many rishonim paskin that it's enough if they aren't split up to a tefach, a hand's breadth, which is just about 3 inches down. So one ideally selects a lulav where the teiomes, the center leaves, have not been split. If they are split somewhat or they become split over Sukkos, it's fine as long as it hasn't gone down till one tefach. Moving now to the topic of the myrtle branch, the hadas. What is required for the structure of the hadas leaves? So it needs to be that they grow in groups of three. And the groups of three need to be on the same level so that the stems of each of those three leaves are coming out on the same level, not one above the other two, which is quite common. Must the leaves of each level reach the next level of leaves? The answer is yes. Each leaf needs to reach and overlap the stem of the stems above it. Why does it need to be examined? So the kids was talking from the European perspective, where there's less oversight, but he points out that a lot of times imported hadassim are invalid, and local hadassim could be grafted or even pot-grown, and pot-grown hadassim, if the pot does not have a hole, are a concern. It's not considered gidul karak, it's not considered that it grew from the ground. So it's important, therefore, to be very careful to try to find fresh, green, and beautiful hadassim with the way that they have their sets of three all at the same level. What is the basic required height of a hadas? It needs to be 3 tvachim, which is 10.6 inches or 27 centimeters. But in present circumstances, it can be 10 gudalim, 10 thumb widths, which is 8.9 inches or 22.5 centimeters. Must the entire dust must have threesomes? These like these groups of three leaves that are at the same level. The answer is yes. Ideally, the entire branch should be like this. But however, if it's not possible, then it's sufficient to have majority arrive as well. And it's just worthwhile noting this because many people are unschooled about this. And when you buy your hadassim in packets, there are different packets you can get. And there's really four different types of packets you can get. There's what's called Rav Chaim Noe, Kulay Rav Chaim Noe, Rav Chazanish, and Kulay Chazanish. What that means to say is that there's two sets of measurements in Israel, at least, of how to measure a tefach. The larger ones being the Chazanish, the smaller ones being the Shira Rav Chaim Noe. The Rav and the Kulay means are most of the leaves, most of the sets of leaves on the same height as they should be, or all of them. So the lowest grade level is the Rav Rav Chaim Noe, most of the smaller set of three Tvachim, which are correct. That one doesn't leave so much room for error for margin, a margin for error. However, if one's getting the Kulay Chazanish, the full one with the bigger share of the three Tvachim, one's in a safer perspective. It's worthwhile knowing this because a lot of times the Lulav and Esrog sellers know that the average person doesn't know this, and they sell the lowest grade Hadassim without making any note of this as well. It's worthwhile asking and looking on the packet what it actually says to be appreciative of this. What level arises that dust leaves fall off? So it's complicated depending how many fall off. One has to be careful, especially when putting them into the holder of the Lulav. What is the status of the hadassah's stem is broken at the top or cut off? Then in that case, it's invalid. And if there's no other possibility, a question should be asked. What should be done with the small side branches between the leaf buds? So let's say there's like little branches sticking out into new branches or buds. They need to be removed before Yom Tov, not to create a separation between the leaves. Move to the arava, the willow. So what are the identifying features of the arava that we use? It needs to be long leaves, so they need to be smooth-edged, and they need to have a red stem, or even if it's green and it's going to turn red, that's fine. Doesn't need to actually be by a river, because it says Arvei Nachal, the willows of the brook. So generally speaking, they grow by brooks, that's why it's called that. But if it's grown elsewhere, it's valid as well. The Kitzur does recommend that it's a good idea to try to get the ones that are actually brook willows. What is the required length of the arava? So it needs to be same as the hadas, as the myrtle, 3 tvachim, which is 10.6 inches or 27 centimeters, and in pressing circumstances, 10 thumbs, which is 8.9 inches or 22.5 centimeters. When is an arava invalid? So if it dries up, or most of those leaves have fallen off, or its stem is broken, are problematic. Sometimes also if the leaves are very limp, or have been partially torn, that could also be a concern as well. This becomes the hardest of the four species to maintain because these require water, and therefore one should think about trying to find a way to either put them into a bucket of water when one's not using them, or to put them into a damp towel when one's not using them in order to keep the hydration so that they do not die by the end of the 7 days. Why must one be especially careful that rubber? Because also when one puts it into the bundle, it's very easy for those leaves to fall off, and that would therefore invalidate it if a sufficient amount have fallen off. Moving to our next concept, and that is the cutting and preparing of the arava minim. Why should a Jew not personally cut the four species from a tree? Because even if the person cuts with permission, the owner's permission, it might be a concern of stealing if one doesn't do the check properly. So it's better to buy it from another salesman, whether a Jew or non-Jew, rather than actually cutting it oneself. How many species of the species must be taken? So we take 3 adasim and 2 aravas. That's the traditional way, and one lulav and 1 esrog. How should the species be arranged in the bundle? So the lulav's stem, green spine, should face the person holding it, and then they should all face the direction of growth, which means to say that they should, the cut part should be facing downwards, and the hadas goes on the right, the arava goes on the left. What if they were held the other way? So let's say one turns them upside down, or the aravas are upside down, or the lulav is upside down, then in that case the entire bundle is invalid. How should the bottom look? So the bottom should be, all the stems should be on an even level. How should the top be, the height look? So the hadas should be slightly higher than the arava, and the lulav should be at least a tefach, 3 inches above the top of the hadas. How should they be tied? So they need to have a complete knot, which means a double knot, on binding them all together. And additionally, there should be 3 more bands directly on the lulav itself to hold it all together as well, leaving the top tefach, the top 3 inches, open so that there's a level of movement in the lulav when it is shaken. What must be done if the hadassim are tied with a string before, like you get them, let's say you buy them from the the seller, and they come in a string. So you need to untie that string, otherwise they'll be considered a hefsek in between them and the lulav. It's worthwhile noting that today's very cool lulav holders, which are actually made of old leaves from old lulav, so it's not considered a hefsek because it's made from the germane material. What is the rule if the bundle becomes undone in Yom Tov? So it's forbidden to tie a knot. Instead, one can make a loop or wrap the strip around it and insert it into the end of the ring in order for them to be together. We move to our next concept, that is carrying and muktzah. What is the status of the arava which is cut on Yom Tov? So it's cut on the first day, it's forbidden that day, but it's permitted the second day. It was cut on Shabbos, even if that was the first day, it's forbidden on both of the days. What about if the four species were brought from outside the Tchum Shabbos? So then they maybe use the mitzvah, but they cannot be carried, so people would have to go to the house of where they are at in order to be able to use them. What should one do if one cannot obtain their own status as Arba Minim? So a person should try to use one's friend's Arba Minim in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So can one just rely on this and say, I'm not going to get? No, the mitzvah is that a person buys their own. It's lukachta lochem, especially for waving during the halal and akofas. This is only if it's not possible. We now move to our last concept, and that is the esrog. You'll notice that the Kitzur does not discuss the esrog. Some surmise that there might be because where he lived in Eastern Europe, it might have been very hard to get esrog again. Maybe it was less common to have the opportunity for. But just a few basics on the esrog, not for the Kitzur. What should one look for in the terms of the esrog shape? It needs to be tapered, not completely rounded, and should have bumpy ridges, unlike the smoothness of a lemon. What's with the pitom? So the pitom is that little it's almost like the flower was when it was still a fruit that cannot be lost, cannot be broken off. Or the orchids is where the stem where it grows from. Both need to be there as well. But pitomless esrogs are fine if they're grown that way, and sometimes are actually better because they're safer, they're less susceptible for damage. What color is that to be? It should be yellow. If one gets one slightly greenish or greenish, one can put it among apples and it will yellow out. Anything else? So symmetry and size are a matter of personal preference. What about the spots? So it cannot have, some spots are actually external, so they're not an issue. If you rub them, they come straight off. But if it's actually a growth in it, and not just a brown area, which is like a scraping or drying up of where the branch was, if it's actually a black or white spot of lentil, if it is in the top third or the area where the esrog tapers, one should not have more than three of them there. So that usually the degree of price of the esrog will reflect the cleanliness from black spots, especially on the pitom area. If it's a pitomed esrog, one has to be very careful there's no black dots on that space, and oftentimes there are, and that's what dictate and indicate the prices as well. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.